In chapter number 11, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. I'm thankful for the music at our church. What a blessing. And the Lord's blessed us with so much. And I praise Him. I praise Him all day. And we're just a very blessed church. So praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, we've been, again, working our way through this book. We ended actually on chapter 11, verse number 1, when Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And of course, he was talking about taking, whether you could eat that meat or not, that had been dedicated towards a false idol. And he has summed it up perfectly in the last few chapters. And so he kind of switches gears here in chapter number 11, starting in verse number 2. And we have been talking about, if we outline just a quick review, in chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, we saw the delivery to the church. And then in chapter 1, verse number 10, all the way to the end of chapter number 4, we saw how there were divisions in the church. And Paul addressed those divisions and what they were and how to handle those. And then in chapters 5 and 6, he covered discipline in the church. And there were a matter of discipline when someone was living in sin and needed to be handled as a church, and how to do that in chapter 5 and chapter 6. And then we saw where we're at now, difficulties in the church. And we looked at, covered from chapter 7 all the way to chapter 11, verse number 1, different areas about our personal walk. And he talked a lot about marriage, he talked about the meats, he talked about money, and just our personal life, and how we should handle certain different aspects of what we're going to face as Christians. And then that brings us, after our personal walk, to areas in chapter 11, 12, 13, and 14 of public worship. And that's kind of where we're at now. And we're going to look, first of all, and we're not going to get this far tonight, but in verses 2, all the way to the end of the chapter, in chapter number 11, he talks about the gift of the Lord's Supper and what it is and why God gave it to us. And we'll continue looking at that in the few weeks to come, and we'll be observing here in a couple of weeks as well. But he first is going to cover this order in fellowship. Order in fellowship, how we are to, and how there should be decency and order, and just in our dealings with each other within the church, and how we fellowship with each other and different roles that we have within the church. Now, I will just give you a glimpse into what we're talking about. Go all the way down to verse 16, because this is where we're going to end tonight. It says, "But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God." In other words, please don't argue this. That's not something we do in church. We hear the truth and we obey it. Now, the reason why Paul said this is because there are people that weren't going to like what he shared. So when he gets done sharing what we're going to look at tonight, he says, now some of you aren't going to like that, but we shouldn't be arguing things. We should just be obeying the truth. So I guess I'll just preface tonight's message with that same thought, right? Amen? I mean, it's just the Bible, so you can't argue nothing yet, right? That's what he said, all right? So now we'll jump back, and let's see what it was that he talked about that would make some people upset, that would want to argue, all right? Bow the way back in chapter 11, verse number 2. If you're able to, let's stand as you read our scriptures tonight. And again, we do that just in respect to the Word of God. If you cannot stand, not physically able, I promise this, God understands that completely. In chapter 11, and verse number 2, it says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one, as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judging yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. He talked about whether men should have long hair, how long women's hair should be, different roles of whether who can lead and pray and lead in prayer in church, and the fact that a woman should be in subordination to a man, and you can see why some people probably didn't like that then and now, right? Haven't got very far, have we? All right, so let's pray and ask God to teach us this tonight. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. And God, I just pray now that, Lord, you teach us your word. Lord, may we understand that all that matters is what your word says, and may we be willing to obey it and follow it. And in your name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So let's look at this order and fellowship. And he's going to talk about a woman's role when it comes to within the church. All right. And again, because of our feminist movement today, they would hate a lot of these scriptures and what I'm about to talk about. There may be even some within God's churches that will not like what I'm about to say. But let God be true and every man a liar. All right. And all that matters is what God's word said. And let's follow it to the best of our ability. The first thing you see here is a word of commendation in verse number 2. A word of commendation. And he says here, he's going to show us here that he was thankful for them, that they remembered Paul personally and practically in verse number 2. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. He said, thank you, church, for remembering me, for praying for me, for having my back in the ministry. Thank you for that, and thank you for keeping the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Now, they weren't observing the ordinances all correctly. He's going to address that later on in this chapter and correct them. But he is thankful that they were at least trying. And Paul was using that method that I told you about when we first started studying this book, that sandwich method. Everybody remember the sandwich method? You say something what you can to be thankful about the person, and when you close it out, make sure you're thankful again, but right in the middle, you're going to have to talk to them about some things they need to change, right? That's the old sandwich method. Still use it today. All right, but Paul is using the same thing. He says, boy, thank you for remembering me. Thank you for following and doing some of the things that I told you to do. I appreciate that. Thank you. I recognize it. Thank you. I praise you, church. Verse 3, but, right? Don't you hate those, right? Y'all with me tonight, right? You know, anytime when someone says, boy, thank you so much, I just appreciate you so much. But, oh, now it's coming, right? No, here it comes, all right? But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So add this word of commendation, then you see a word of correction in verses 3 all the way down to verse number 16. And the first thing he's going to cover here in verses 3 through 12 is a matter of headship. All right, we're going to see, first of all, in verse number 3, how that man's headship is declared. Man's headship. It says in verse 3, but I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Our God is a God of order. In chapter number 14, glance over there real quick, and in verse number 40, we see something that we'll address later. But it says there in chapter 14, verse number 40, Paul says these words, let all things be done decently and in order. You see, that's the kind of God that we have. God is not the author of confusion, the Bible says. So if you're ever involved in a church where everybody's running around and everything's chaotic, people are screaming and speaking in tongues, and no one has any idea what people are saying and doing, that is not of God. Now, you can amen, shout, praise the Lord, amen, all that you want to, raise your hand and testify, praise the Lord. But all things should be done decently and in order. If things get out of control, that's not of God. Because God does things decently and in order, and God is a God not of confusion. Mass chaos is not of God. That is, by the way, one of the reasons why we know that our God is the creator of all things. And he did so in the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. He created this entire universe in a span of 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. Amen? He did those things, and we have the exact order in which he did those things. That is why it is such a slap in the face to God and absolute blasphemy when people are teaching to our children that everything happened from a big explosion. Out of chaos came order. God is not the author of confusion. God does all things decently and in order, and God would not use some explosion and chaos to bring something out of that. God does things differently. Now, he has done all things in order. And you back into our text in chapter number 12, God says here, now he's given to man, he's given us three institutions. He has given us as mankind, he's given us the home, he gave us government, and then he gave us the church. And we have those things because those three institutions bring order into our three different areas of our life. We are home life, be it our social life, and then be it our spiritual life. God gives us order because our God is a God of order. And in his order, he has said in chapter 11, verse number 3, that the head of man is Christ. And by that, I'm not just talking about mankind. That word right there refers to males, all right? So the head of the male is Christ. We as men ought to live our life, and we're going to talk about it later, to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our life should be all about honoring our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our life should be about pointing people to him. Man is the our head is Christ. But in that same verse, the head of the woman is the man. A woman should willingly be in subjection to the male leadership in her life. Boy, you're awful quiet on me there, right? That's what it says. Now, before anyone starts running down and taking that little clip and then I'm on, you know, the next thing on social media going viral, right? Before that happens, all right, understand, God did not say that man in any way is superior to woman. In no way is he superior to woman. We are equal. We were both created by God. It is not a matter of inferiority or superiority. And Paul even gives us this perfect summary in it all. All right, it says there, but I would have you know that the head of every man is who? Christ. And the head of the woman is who? The man. And the head of Christ is who? God. Now, is God superior than Christ? They're the same. They are both God. Is God more powerful than Christ? No. Does he have more wisdom than Christ? No. They both are equal. Amen? But the Lord Jesus Christ has willingly accepted his role as obeying the Father. He said, I must be, as a 12-year-old boy living on this earth, he said, I must be about my Father's business. He learned that his will was in total submission to the will of the Father. Not my will, but thine. Now, their wills would have been absolutely the same. But the fact is this, he willingly took his position and God was his authority. And one was not superior to the other. They are both God. In that same way, in the same verse, we as men ought to take the leadership in government, in home, and in the church. We ought to willingly take the leadership, God-ordained role that he has given us, and be the leaders. And a lady, just as Christ with God, should willingly submit to that leadership that God has placed in her life. Amen. That is not asking anything that the Lord Jesus Christ has not done with God the Father. It is not a matter of superiority. It is not. Matter of fact, you know, quite often in my life, I recognize that my wife is wiser than I am in different areas. Both of them. But she is, all right? I was just kidding on that, right? No, she is. I mean, there's different talents she has, different thoughts that she has, and I value that counsel. I long for that counsel, and I understand that she may be brighter in areas. I understand that she may be smarter in areas and more gifted in areas, but that doesn't change the fact that I am to be the leader in my home. And I praise the Lord for a wife that willingly submits to that leadership within the home. because that is the way God ordained things. And he's addressing this right now, and he talks about it here within the church. And he says now, within the church here, again in verse number 3, I would have you to know. Now, obviously, the church at Corinth was having some issues with this. Now, I don't want to jump ahead of a sermon later on, but at this time, the gift of tongue speaking was still happening. There are still some speaking in tongues, and that's a whole different topic we'll cover in 3 chapters. But that gift was there. Now, that gift went away when that which is perfect is come. When we got the Word of God, that gift went away with the other apostolic gifts, and it is no more. If someone says they want to speak in tongues, they're lying. All right? They may want to, but it isn't biblical. And Paul was addressing this within the church at Corinth, and one of the things he said is that a woman is never to speak in tongues. Never. Let the woman be silent in the church. And that doesn't mean that you can't walk into Gazzetta Baptist Temple, ladies, and you have to be absolute quiet. And that is not what that chapter is saying. But they were not to get up and be in a leadership position in front of all these different men. They weren't to get up and start speaking in tongues and all the other men listen to her. That was not to happen. God would not work that way. And obviously, some ladies were trying it. Because he said, you ladies need to be quiet. He addressed, and by the way, when you study that chapter, I don't want to study it now because it's coming up later, all right? There's not a tongue-speaking church out there that follows the rules that are given in 1 Corinthians. Not a one. All those that want to defend it and say they're being biblical, none of them follow the orders that are given in 1 Corinthians. So it's not biblical and it's not of God. But we'll cover that later. But here in this passage, we see, first of all, the headship of man. And we see that this is the way that it was ordained. It was ordained by God, and it is a role that we should willingly take. And by the way, I'm not just saying women need to submit. Men, you need to lead. You should willingly accept that position. Not a dictator. That's not what the Bible says. Girls, whoever's making the sound, stop. It's not being a dictator. It's not any of those cases, all right? It is men willingly taking the leadership role just as Christ did, being a servant leader, loving and leading, but not afraid to lead. And a lady should take and be subordinate to that order that God has given to us in the Word of God. So you see that a headship of man is as declared, but then you see in verses 4 through 7, man's headship is displayed. And you see, first of all, a principle in verses 4 and 5. And first of all, he talks about the man in the church in verse number 4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Now, who is his head? It's not talking about this. Cabeza, right? All right? It's not talking about this. All right? Who is his head? In the previous verse, who is the head of man? Christ. So when the man comes into the house of God and he prophesies or he prays, having his head covered, he dishonoreth his head. Who is who? Christ. He is to have his head uncovered. He is to stand and willingly take his role in leadership. Men should want and desire to follow God in this way. Now, by the way, this was a huge statement, what Paul is making right here. Now, we know, because context determines everything, and Scripture interprets Scripture. We know down there from verse number 15, what is the covering that we're talking about in this passage of Scripture? If a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a what? Covering. So what is that cover? It's your hair. The Bible clearly describes what that covering is. Now, if a lady wants to wear a hat, I don't think it's unbiblical. If you want to wear a bonnet or if you want to wear a veil, I don't think it's unbiblical, but I don't think it's mandated either, because the Scripture specifically says that the hair is given for a covering. Specifically says it. Now, a man cannot have a covering. In other words, and we're going to talk about later, man should have short hair. What nature teaches us, and we'll get to that in a second. But he obviously shouldn't wear anything on top of that covering. So we don't, when we come into the house of God, when you pray, when we preach, when we come here to worship God, no man should ever have a hat on. And our hair should be cut right. The head should be uncovered. so that we not dishonor our head, the Lord. Now, the reason why this is such a huge statement is because up until this time, in every Jewish setting, now understand, the Jews loved the fact that men were to be leaders. I mean, the men used to pray. One of their prayers was, God, I thank you, I was not born a woman. They used to pray that, all right? Because there were so many, I think some of us still pray that, don't we? Yeah, right? But there's so many, ways that a woman could not ever pray in the house of God. A woman could not ever, no matter how many they were, if they wanted to ever start a synagogue when there's a large group of Jews, all right? It doesn't matter whether you had 10,000 women, if there wasn't a certain amount of men, you didn't do it. It was all about the man. Now, when the Jews went in to worship God, when they read the scriptures, when they prayed, to this day they do this, by the way, they had to have their head covered. They always wore that. Follow me? Now Paul is saying to them and to the New Testament church with Jews that are in that church, he says, you're not to have your head covered at all. So them Jews, some of them probably just like, right? They weren't to wear it. You follow me? So that's not something, y'all just staring at me, all right? But that's, so new, fast forward, we're still the same word of God, amen? So today, when you walk into the house of God, you need to respect the God that we are serving and not dishonor your head by having your head covered. So you should take off any hat that you have, any covering that you have, men, and you should come with your hair cut in a way that nature teaches, so that your head is uncovered, so that it's ultimately, it is a matter of honoring and an attitude issue of respect and honor to God. And so for the man, here in this passage of Scripture, again in verse number 4, every man praying or prophesying, if you walk into this place, because I had a Baptist temple member, and if you're a man, and you walk in here and you just say, I'm wearing this cap on my head, you are dishonoring God, and you are dishonoring the Lord and His church. Amen. Amen. That's what the Word of God teaches. It is a matter of dishonoring. So we'll go on because some of you are loving that, all right? So again, that's why it's a big statement, though. It was the opposite of everything that they had been doing. When Paul made this statement, it was changing everything. But he was, who told him to write this statement, by the way? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. So we go on. So you see this matter of men in the church, and you see women in the church in verse number 5. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. Now, who is her head? First of all, too, man. And then that man to Christ. And so it's a matter of reverence and honor and subjection. And a lady is not to be uncovered. She should have a covering. And according down there to verse number 14, what is her covering that God gave her for a covering? Her hair. And so her hair should be something that is used as a cover. It is a glory for a woman to have long hair. It is a glory thing. I do not believe that means that it has to be touching the ground and tripping over it, all right? I think God gave us the distinction. Nature teaches where a man should wear his hair. Where is that? Every man has that same natural line. Every man in this room has the same. Some of you have even gone further, right? But we have that same natural line. All right? The same natural line, God's given that to every man. When that hair starts to go past that line and down below the ears and down the neck, you're passing the line that nature, God gave you in nature to show you the truth. And so, does a lady have to have hair down, tripping over it? No. But should there be a big distinguishing between a man and a woman in their hair? Yes. You should be able to look at someone and know what gender they are. A lady that would try to wear her hair like I'm wearing it would be wrong. If you're all faded up here, by the way, I know all the technical terms. I'm a 2, I'm a 3, I'm a 5, all right? I cut my own hair. Thank you very much. All right. 2, 3, and 5. All right. And a lady should not wear her hair in this way. A lady's hair should be below the ears. It should be down on the neck. That is a distinguishing mark that God has given to us. That is the way God gave this to us. Again, I'll just go back to verse 16. If any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither in churches of God, right? There, right? Get that out of the way, right? So we have this, all right? It's from the Lord. And so, again, the women in the church should be submissive to this role. And her head is to be covered. Her hair should be as a symbol of submission, that she is in being subordinate to the man, placing herself under the authority of him and ultimately the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what God has given. That doesn't mean a woman, again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 34, when it says that women should keep silent in the church, that is directly talking about tongue speaking. They're not to speak in tongues. They're not to take that leadership position. Let me tell you why. One of the reasons you say, well, there's all these wild women taking all these leadership roles in churches, getting up preaching and teaching. Why is that going on? I'll tell you why. It's because of men. Men are not doing what God told them to do. The men should be taking. Those positions should not be open for them to take. But the men are failing. And so, you know, that is what naturally, and I'll talk about this in a second, the devil loves to switch the order in things. But women obviously have a role within the church. Titus chapter number 2 says specifically that in the church, that older women are to teach the younger women. That they are to be, older ladies are supposed to be teachers of good things. I thank the Lord for our ladies that teach other ladies. I'm thankful for every one of them because they are supposed to be teachers. They're supposed to teach the younger, and praise the Lord for them, all right? But the fact is this, here in our auditorium, when men are gathered together, men should be in the leadership position. I don't have a problem. Again, I think it's that matter of submission. I don't have a problem with a lady giving a testimony in church. I have no problem with that because they're still under the authority. At any time, if I ever think, and I've done it once in my years, I've had to say, that's enough, please be seated. Because if they ever start to, you know, you've all seen it, right? They start giving a testimony, but they go past the line of testimony and they're preaching to somebody. And I thank the Lord for all he's done for me. And some people in this church, they have a problem. Whoa. Not your role, all right? And I have the authority to say no. Because they're under authority. If they have a husband, that husband has the right to say, sit down, Lucille. Right? Isn't that the word we use? Right? Right? Yeah. Has the right to do that, right? No. They should. No, I know. Amen. Ladies, sing when we sing. Praise the Lord. Sing the special. Praise the Lord and testify. Amen. That's wonderful. But always with the attitude and the heart of submission. That they're not in the position to be the leaders and the teachers, but that is the responsibility of the men in the church. And so we'll continue with this, right? So the woman in the church, and then you see, first of all, the principle, and then we see the practice in verse number 6 and 7. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Again, you see, women should display their covering. Again, the word shorn there is just what they do with sheep. You shear the sheep. After a sheep has had its hair cut off, it's been shorn. I said that right, right? All right, so shorn. And so, again, it's talking about this, that a woman should display her covering. Her hair should be a symbol of her obedience. A lady's hair should be a symbol of her obedience. God takes this serious. And by the way, women that are out there that are trying to wear a man's haircut, right, and they got it shaved, skin tight, there's a serious heart problem there. There is a serious issue when they want to be like a man. And that's not right. It's a sign of rebellion that God takes serious. You see, a woman should display her covering. In verse number 7, a man should display his calling. For if the man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Again, the man is not to be covered. It's obvious that, again, his hair should be short. He is made in the image of God. You remember what? Now again, remember, the head of man is who? Christ. And the head of Christ is who? God. You remember what Jesus said when he was walking on this earth in John chapter 14? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, he said, then you've seen God. See, when people saw him, they saw the Lord. When people see us, men, we should direct them to God. When they see us, our life should point. Because we as men were made in the image of God. So, in other words, when men, when the world sees us, men, when people in the church see us, men should be known. Now, I know there's different levels of maturity and people are getting saved at different times. But men, the goal here is that a lost world and new Christians and our wives and others in the church should see wisdom, should see counsel, should see love, should see the power of God flowing through our life. They should see us being the spiritual leaders in our home. A man should be drawing attention to Christ. We should be drawing people's hearts and minds to the Lord. Just as the moon, you understand that the moon is just a rock. But the moon only reflects the light of the sun. So we, on our own, we're nothing. We're nothing. But all we should do is reflect the glory of God through our life. We should point people and reflect that back to the Lord. So we see the man's headship is declared, it is displayed, and now in verses 8 through 12, man's headship is discussed. And I want you to see just a couple things. We're getting halfway through. Number one, in verse 8 and 9, you see the order in creation. It says, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Now, I don't have to teach on this long. We understand this. When God formed man, when God formed Adam, he made him out of the dust of the ground. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. When God formed Eve, Eve was taken out of the man. How did God form Eve? He chose Adam's what? Rib. And he took from within the man, from the man, he formed the woman. She was created for Adam. To be Adam's what? His helpmeet. And so she was created for Adam to be his helpmeet. There is a difference in the origin and the purpose of man and woman. Now both were created by God. Make no mistake. But you see these roles being given here even in creation. As God created man because God wanted this fellowship with man. And God created woman because man had the desire and need of this helpmeet. And so from man, he created woman. So you see this order in creation, but now you see this order in Christ in verse number 10. It says, therefore, this cause, I should read verse number 9, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man, what I just said. Now verse number 10, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Now, order in Christ. So we saw order in creation, now order in Christ. And then we get to verse number 10, which to me has been one of those fascinating verses that I have just had a time with. I was talking, we were walking down the road to Mexico, and as we walked down, me and Brother Elijah had this conversation. I said, have you ever read that verse? And I read him this verse while we were walking out there and down the road. It says there, verse number 10, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head. In other words, the lady should willingly submit to this authority because what? Because what? Well, that's interesting. Because the what? Angels. We thought about that, verse God? The angels. What do the angels have to do with this? There are two types of angels. Anybody with me? There are the heavenly angels, but there's also the demonic angels. And a woman should willingly submit to this role because of what? The angels. Let me just give this to you. Ready? Hope I got your attention. They're watching. It's interesting, isn't it? The angels are watching you. I mean, the Bible can't be clear, right? Cannot be any more clear. A woman should willingly accept this power on her head because of the angels. Now, why would they be so interested in this situation? Why are the angels? You know, I don't have time to go through all this, but the angels are observing. There aren't a whole lot of things the Bible specifically says they're watching, but they're watching this. The angels are watching. This blows my mind, all right? You're not near as interested in this as I was, all right? But the angels are very concerned, and they are watching how she treats him. Isn't that interesting? The angels are observing how my wife submits to my authority. This has captivated the angels. We know a couple other things, just, you know, when it comes to the grace and mercy of God, the angels long to look into these things. They are fascinated by a man being repented and being saved. That is just something that fascinates them. And another thing that fascinates the angels is how a lady will willingly submit to the authority in her life and her husband, or in male leadership within the church, government, right? It amazes them. Why are they so captivated by this? I think we have to go all the way back. Who introduced sin? Satan. Satan is a what? He's an angel. Satan rebelled against his authority. Y'all with me? He rebelled against his authority, God. He took a third of the angels with him, and they were cast from heaven. When Satan introduced sin into this world, who did he go to? That's interesting. God created man to lead. That's the way he created us. That's why he made, in case you don't know, men and women are created a little bit differently. We're just made up in a different way, all right? Men are very factual. We lead with our heads, all right? Ladies are more emotional. They tend to lead more with their heart. Now, that does not mean that a lady can't think with her head. You do, all right? And it doesn't mean that a man doesn't ever think with his heart. We do. But there is a difference in the way that we were created. God made us that way. We men tend to lead, and we're more directed this way. A lady is more directed this way, right? When God formed man, then he formed woman, and Satan went to who? The woman. And how did he attack her? Intellectually. He bypassed the heart and went to the head. Hath God said, right? They had a theological discussion, didn't they? And they remember what he said to her? That God doesn't want you to take this because if you eat of this fruit, you will be as what? Gods. Right? You will be as gods. What is gods? How does that affect you? We're just learning tonight. What is gods? Power. Right? Authority. Knowledge. And he went at Eve and attacked her in reversing the roles in which God has given. Who was to be the leader in that home? Adam should have been. He didn't go to Adam. He went to Eve. And he went after her mind. Went after her heart. Or went after her mind and her thinking. And then the heart would follow. He went after her and challenged her intellectually. And you can be as gods. Now, man inherited a sin nature from who? For as by one, what? Man sin entered into the world. So who does God attribute our sin problem to? Adam or Eve? Adam. when Adam chose to sin, he was not tricked. He was not deceived. You say, well, we don't have a whole lot of information on what exactly happened. All we know is that Eve did what? She gave him the fruit, and he what? He ate it. It wasn't a matter of this. It's a matter of this. He realized what his wife had done. He realized the penalty for his wife. And he said, if that's where she's going to go, then that's where I'm going to go. And the roles were reversed. He followed her. He was led by his heart. The angels are watching. Now look at me. We live in a world today, and you know this. The role of a man and a woman are so challenged in this culture that we live in. It has spilled way over into the church too. I mean, just we hate to have authority. Men don't want to lead, and ladies want to take that leadership position, by and large, in this culture that we live in. Now, why is that such a big deal? Because every time that has happened, chaos follows. Destruction follows. And if the devil can reverse the roles, be it in your family, be it in our government, be it in the church, he brings destruction and chaos with him every time. Because he reverses the God-given roles that we have been given. Say, no, wait a second. What does that have to do with the angels? Because when man and woman willingly accept our roles. You following this? When my wife and I willingly accept our roles, be it in our house, be it in this church, be it in this world, in this government, when we willingly accept these roles, and I understand that my head is Christ and the head of Christ is God, and she willingly submits to the leadership as I am her head, all the glory goes to who? And the angels are all about bringing glory to God. And they love to observe this and rejoice in God getting the glory. But when the roles are reversed, the angels are watching that too. And there's another set of angels that say, there's our chance. 1 Peter says, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about what? Seeking whom he may devour. If Lauren decides that she's going to rebel against her husband, she would never do that. But if she decides she's going to, and she starts living just, an absolute rebellious life, everything he says, she is always correcting him and putting him in his place. And, I mean, he is just getting beat down. And I mean, she is saying, I will be the leader of our home. It's just kind of funny to think about, all right? But here she is doing that. You know what the devils do? The ones that are gods mourn because there's no glory given to God. Those demonic workings are saying, there's a door open.
Right. Come on.
And they sneak in there because they find someone, there's a target on the back now. A heart of rebellion opens a door for satanic working in their life. So, wife, every time you start to rear up, and start arguing, yelling at your husband, he may deserve it. I won't argue that. But understand, you may be opening the door for the wrong influences entering to your life and to your home, because they're watching. That's what the Bible says. They're watching. And from the very beginning, the devil used this plan. And I know I got to hurry. We're out of time, all right? But you got to admit, it's somewhat interesting, all right? So the observing angels, but let's go on. You see an obvious angle in verse number 11 and 12. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. Paul says, but take a time out, don't get carried away. We need each other. And I'll echo Paul's word and say this, I don't know what I'd be without my wife. Yeah, I'm supposed to be the spiritual leader, but I don't know what I'd be without my wife. I need her. And I hope she needs me too. Verse number 12, for as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. You say, what does that mean? So is the man from the woman, by the woman. Well, a newsflash to you without getting into a whole lot of biology here. The first time woman was created, she was taken from a man. And every other person since then has been taken from a woman. I don't need to explain that to you, do I? They're born, all right? And I've never given birth to anybody, and neither has any other male in this room, all right? Every male and female has been by woman. So verse number 13, we get to this point now, all right? We saw, again, this obvious angle. In other words, verse 12 ends, but all things of God. Listen, we need each other. One is not superior than the other. And the fact is, ever since creation, we've all been of by woman. But the fact is this, and I hope you get it, we all are of God. And all that matters is that we obey God. So you see here the headship, and now we talk about the hair. And we're done in verse 13, 14, 15, 16, all right? The hair. You give a final contrast in verse 13 through 15. Paul asks two questions. Look at the questions with me real quick. In verse number 13 is our first question, judging yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Everything that we've talked about now and what we have discussed. Paul said, I've just told you one is not inferior to the other, but it is a matter of obedience, it is a matter of glory, it is a matter of protecting our spiritual lives and our homes and our society. Now, judging yourselves, can you see why we ought to willingly take our roles? And I hope you can answer that tonight. Does it make sense? That's what he says in verse 13. Judging yourselves, is it comely or is it right and decent that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Should they be uncovered? No. They should be covered. Why? Because they ultimately, it's for the glory of who? For God. And we willingly are accepting our roles. The second question is verse number 14. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a what? Shame unto him. When it comes to a man's hair, it's all about the length. With a man's hair, it's about the length. If a man allows his hair beyond the lines that nature even shows you, verse number 14, nature teaches you. When man allows his hair to go beyond the nature line that God created every man with, it is a shame. Because you are dishonoring God. You're dishonoring your head. Everybody with me? Hey, look at me. And the angels are watching. You want to know why there was so much drugs, demonic activity, and everything that was introduced in the hippie age with their long hair? It was rebellion. It was rebellion against God's law. And when man openly rebelled against what God said, he opened himself up for the wrong workings in their life. That's why immorality followed that crowd. Y'all know, right? Immorality, drug abuse, Satanism, alcohol. That all was what that group is known for. It all started with the hair. I know. It's a lot bigger than you thought. What? When the hair and man willingly rejected that, it opened the door. Because the angels are watching. The heart is rebellious. A man's hair is all about the length. Verse number 15, a woman's hair is all about the loveliness. But if a woman have long hair, it is what? A glory to her. For her hair is given her for a covering. Again, you say, how long should it be? I'm just telling you this, it'll be longer than this. It ought to be longer than a man's haircut. It ought to be to where someone can be standing behind you and know you're a lady. Now that can be down to your ankles or that can be down on your neck, but they know you're a lady. God didn't give you a specific line, neither will I. It just said it should be beyond this line. And that's what I'll stick with too. It ought to be down. And people ought to see and know that you are willingly obedient and submissive and want to bring glory to God. Then you see a final caution in verse number 16. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. If you want to argue this and get mad about this, that's not what we do in church, Paul said. I hope we don't have that. No, I don't think we do. But I guarantee this, you go ahead and put this message on a loudspeaker downtown. You'll find some contentious. Go ahead and take this message to a lot of the other cults and denominations. There'll be some contention. Sadly, in a lot of Baptist churches. Take this message to a Bill Gaither concert. What's his name? Is it Penrod? Is that who he is? Has his hair all the way down? Yeah, all right. There'll be some contention. I'm just saying, God's word is true. And we need to follow God's word. Let's pray. Father,